For this session, we will be using interpretation services. After the session has started, you will see a world globe icon like you see here at the bottom of your screen. If you're using a cell phone, you're going to touch the three dots for more, and there you will see the interpretation options. Please select English so that you can hear when the interpreter interprets what the other participants share into English. Do not select mute original audio or you will not be able to hear the presenter. Make sure you are not in the off position or you will not be able to hear everyone. So once again, let me repeat, everybody has to choose a language. So once it has been activated and you see the globe, please choose a language. Para esta sesión usaremos servicios de interpretación. Después de que inicie la sesión, aparecerá un icono en forma de mundo en la parte de abajo de su pantalla. Si están usando un teléfono celular, toquen los tres puntitos para la opción de More y allí verán las opciones de interpretación. Si ocupan servicios de interpretación, seleccionen Español en las opciones de idioma y escriban Español en el chat. Comenzaré a interpretar cuando vea su mensaje. Si solo desean escuchar al intérprete y no al que presenta, seleccionen Mute Original Audio. Once again, the session is being recorded, but we will only be using the audio. Una vez más, esta sesión se está grabando, pero solo usaremos el audio. And please remember to select a language y seleccionen su idioma. You can start the interpretation now.
Hello, Miss Debbie Hamilton. Hello, everyone.
Si alguien ocupa servicios de español, favor de escribir español en el chat.
Yay! Can you hear me?
Yay! Oh, you need to start the interpretation now, so you need to go to the globe and hit start.
I forgot the globe. Hold on. Where's the globe?
Whoever's the host is the one with the globe.
I'm not seeing a globe.
Okay, try now.
There we go. There's the globe. Got it.
Thank you.
There's no globe over the phone.
I have to relearn how to do this. Been a couple months. Well, Happy New Year to everyone. So wonderful to see faces, even though we can't be in the same room with each other. I'm so happy to see so many participants. That is amazing. So, can somebody put up the agenda, please? Thank you, Blanca. So, let's see. Thank you. I'm getting older. I need the font maker. So we're calling to order. We have a Zoom primer that Mary is going to go through, and that's just to help us with our familiarity when it comes to how to vote and how to raise your hand and things like that. So Mary, please take it away.
Okay. Actually, it's even more simple than that. I hope everyone can hear me. We talked through how we might do this. For those of you who attended last time, we were still working through a lot. Well, there was a big curve, basically, in how we were doing this. So we've simplified it a lot. And when it comes to voting on the agenda and voting on the minutes, which are the only two voting items tonight, I'll actually launch a poll. And you'll see that pop up in the middle of your screen. And then you can click on your vote. It'll be as simple as that. There won't be any other action that you'll need to take. You will see, though, at the bottom of the screen right now, block of screen, if you do want to send a message, you would click on the chat button right in the middle, if everyone can see that. I'm not sharing my screen now, right now, but Blanca, if you could kind of hover your cursor over that. Well, I hope everyone can see the chat at the bottom. That's how we'll communicate. And really, that's it. So you're back on, Debbie.
Okay. All right, thank you so much. And I think, you know, all of us, for various reasons and venues, we've had to, you know, use Zoom or MS Teams or, you know, these types of meetings, and it's just, I think, going to become more and more common. So it's good that we're learning this new skill. So next is the approval of the agenda. I need a first and a second.
Let me put the poll up.
Please.
Here we go. So you will go ahead. Wait, sorry, I had to hit one more button. There you go. Everyone should be able to see the poll now. I see you're starting to vote. Yay! All right.
Do we need a first and a second though, or is this sufficient?
I got excited and hit it too fast.
So, is there anybody would like to be the first and second? You can unmute.
I'll give you a first from Sequoia.
Okay.
Thank you.
Here for Riley's a second.
Perfect. And then vote if you haven't already. Wonderful.
Can you send the voting thing again? Because it disappeared.
It's still open.
I can't find it. Where is it?
I'm sorry. It should be in the middle of your screen.
No, it disappeared. Because I want to see the agenda again. And then it disappeared.
Oh, it's probably diminished.
No. Okay, there it is up there. Okay, got it.
Okay, the next is public comment. Does anybody have any public comment?
Yes, this is Valentina Hernandez, and I want to thank everybody for logging on, and I want to know also how many people are on. And I also want to let everybody know that it's very important to do the census. I'm working for the census, and I'm going out, and we need more people to answer the questionnaires or answer the enumerators that go to their houses. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anybody else have public comment?
Oh, another thing. Feliz Dia de Independencia. Happy Mexican Independence Day. And other countries as well. Thank you.
And hearing no other public comment, we'll do... Mary, this next introductions is this for the staff, folks that are county?
Actually, this would be for just district staff, so our resource teachers and FPMA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you like to introduce that? Yeah, like, do they want to introduce themselves? Or
yeah, let's do that. That might be the best.
Okay. If you could introduce yourself, please, if you are district staff.
Okay. Let's try and work through this. I'll start first. Mary Johnson, Program Manager, Private School Services, and DAC Liaison. I'm going to bounce it. I'm watching the pictures on my screen, and maybe we can kind of do it like that. I'm going to bounce it to Blanca. Unmute. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Blanca Salcedo. I'm the Confidential Admin Assistant for Thomas Liberto. And I'm so happy to be here, guys.
Since she mentioned me, I'll go next. I'm Tom Liberto. I'm the Director of Financial Planning. Good to see everybody. I hope you had a great summer, even though considering.
Hello, my name is Adriana Rivas Quesada, and I am the Area 4 Resource Teacher with FPMA. Nice to see you. Fred?
Fred Hilchers. I am the Area 6 resource teacher and filling in for Mary Johnson in Area 5. So I have Area 5 and 6.
I'm Erin Easter. I'm the Area 3 resource teacher.
I'm Lynn Ryan. I'm the Title IX and Uniform Complaint Compliance Officer for the district.
Is that everybody?
I'm Teresa Laskowski, Instructional Support Officer and LCP presenter this evening, and I'll pass it off to Pam.
Hi, Pamela King, Family Engagement Program Manager. Thank you.
Do we want our interpreters to introduce themselves as well?
I think that would be great.
I'll go real quick. I'm Sherry Coco Baysmore. I'm the operations auditor, and I'm working in Tom Libero's office.
Do we have Kathy and Rodolfo?
They could be interpreting. That's probably why they can't come.
That could be. All right. I think we're just missing Dario, maybe. Do we catch everyone for our team?
We did. Dario is not in attendance tonight.
Okay. Perfect. Then I think we can move on. Are we able to put the notes up for June?
Okay.
Blanca, can you post the notes from June?
Awesome. Thank you, Blanca. So this, these notes for June are because we did not have a quorum, so they're notes instead of minutes. And these are just for review. And to say that we have reviewed them, they will be on the website if you would like to review further. We will move on to the minutes for February.
While we're posting those, every handout and document that we're referencing tonight has already been posted to the webpage.
Perfect. Guys are on top of it.
To what webpage do we find it? Because I couldn't find anything earlier.
So the DAC webpage, we send a link in the school messenger message, and then we also put some attachments just for convenience as well, so you don't have to dig for all of them. The link off of that's in the messenger message brings you to the DAC page. Then you have to click on that and it actually brings you to board docs.
Yeah, but in DA, in the district website, you cannot find it from just the deck. So that needs to be made easier so people can find it.
Thank you, Valentina. Okay.
Okay, we have the minutes up for February. And we had a quorum here, and we need to have a first and a second, and then Mary will put up the poll again to say yes, no, or abstain.
Sandberg Elementary will give you a first.
Thank you, Debbie.
McCoy Elementary will give you a second.
Okay. Thank you, Tim.
Put the poll up. There we go. Uh-oh, that's not it. All right, we've got two polls. All right, so here's our first hiccup. There are two polls that we programmed. There we go.
Oh, that was the first one, right?
I know, and I'm trying to open. I don't know if I'm stuck in that somehow.
And for your information, the Latino Summit was canceled due to the pandemic, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Relaunch polling, I think, no, we don't want to do that. So, okay, sorry, folks. We set up two separate polls in here, but I'm afraid to close this one because I don't want to lose the results. Tell you what, let me just write it down really fast. And then I'll just try and relaunch and see if it'll bring us to the minutes. If not, we'll have to do it in the chat. Let's see.
Do you want to figure that one out and then we can have Pam from Family Engagement?
Yeah.
Do her report, and then you don't feel so pressured to like get it done while everybody's waiting on you.
Okay. Well,
so Pam, you want to talk about your part, family engagement? Pam, I think you're muted. Are you able to unmute yourself?
I'm sorry, the poll was blocking my screen. I was trying to maneuver in my mouse. It's just like, come on, the mouse was doing its own thing. My apologies.
No problem.
So I'm going to share my screen. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. I'm happy and delighted to be here with you to share some updates on family engagement. So let's see. I'm going to put it in presentation mode. It's still kind of loading up. So again, I'm Pamela King, the Program Manager for Family Engagement. Just going to share a couple of updates with you. One, let you know about who's our team. And so my supervisor, my boss, is on the line. She'll be presenting tonight, Ms. Teresa Wiskowski. This is the rest of our teams. We have two resource teachers, and Ms. Levendon is actually on as a parent tonight. So welcome, Aline. And then we have a mobile tech who does workshops for technology. We have three community assistants, and we have a child care activity assistant who assists with engaging activities for our families. And so I just wanted to still let you know that although we are learning on, our commitment, our belief is still the same. We believe families and schools are valued and trusted partners who share in the commitment to and responsibility of educating our children. And so our vision is truly to empower, it's a shared vision to truly empower and inspire all stakeholders. That goes for parents, families, guardians, grandparents, community members, educators, church members, everyone as real partners in the education by creating and maintaining unity in order to strengthen the home-school relationship and increase student achievement. So, our trends forming and expanding who we are. Just want to share some updates with you as to how we are currently basing our work. So we continue our commitments to families as true partners. We have a parents as partners with the district has their website. We're still meeting with families. We're creating office hours, and that information is going to be posted on our website. But we're meeting our families where they are with the supports they need, the resources and the interventions they need for students' overall success. So our commitment is still there. We're going to be offering trainings. And so on our website, which I'll click on shortly, we have a master calendar. It'll have the workshops on there with descriptions. And remember, anything on our website as far as events is open to everyone. So we'll have those presentations, very engaging, intended for students and the parents. We'll have flex hours, and we're going to be gathering that information as to what, getting parents' feedback as to what they're interested in and which hours works best for them. We'll have live, and we'll also have archive, that way parents can refer back to them on their own, and they'll be on our website as well. So on the website, we'll have the contact information of the staff members I just shared with you. We have live office hours where you can call if you have a question, but the email is always available. We have our family engagement website. I'm gonna try to maneuver this the best way I can, and hopefully I can just bounce right back. But on this family engagement website, we have all the districts, like for online learning, we made it where if you just click on it, they have a drop down and you can get to all of the latest updates that were posted or sent out to families. So as I said, my laptop is a little slow, my internet is a little rocky, and it's probably gonna come up, but if it was to perform correctly, it would have a drop down, and you'll see all the different things that I'm talking about with the resources. Same as family engagement. Oh, there we go, okay. So you can click on it for technology support, where to find food, the learning continuity plan, which my supervisor will speak more to tonight, instructional resources, the parents' partners website, as well as the back to school. So we have it right here at a click. We have family engagement. And then, as I said, not only the family engagement calendar of events, which is the master calendar, but the cultural activities. So if you're looking like for this month with the Hispanic Heritage Month, we have activities actually online, give you a little history about it, as well as activities, and then that you can engage in to learn more about the culture. Let's see. So here we have it all for the months. And if we go down here with the Hello September, you can see it right there. And if you click on it, it actually has those activities, and we want to make sure you know the history behind it as well. So engaging things you can do at home with your child for families to learn more about the culture, as well as, let's see, it's working well. I'm really happy. Other resources that we have, because one of our initiatives is parent leadership. And so having the list of advisory committees, how parents can get involved at the site level or a district level. So this is what we have on our website. We're going to continue to update it. And then we also have information about the census, as Valentina stated. So how to sign up, complete the form, 9 questions, take you directly to the link as well. And let's see if I can just go back. Do I just escape or I just go back? Let's try this. I did it. Okay. So that's our website. And then we have a family engagement Facebook. So if you have Facebook, follow us on Facebook. We have it at SCUSC Families, as well as we have a Project Ujima page as well. So we'll have that site. But this is our family engagement. Ms. Leventhon puts all the latest and greatest updates on that, our Facebook page. I'm just going to highlight, because my supervisor is going to go into deeper details about what this is. So the district resources they have for families, we have the back to school guide in various languages. We have those food services location. We have 82 available currently and growing, 12 to 2 p.m. daily, Monday through Friday. And then they have specific days designated as sites where you get boxes of produce and other goodies from Feeding America. They provide that. So if you have a school site nearest you or where your child is attending, you can inquire which date of the week they actually come to give those extra items. Some places even give dog food as well. So they provide different things based on the needs. For technology support, IT added more interpretations of the job aids and videos for students and families. So they are providing supports with technology as far as the platforms, issues. If you have you need to exchange your device, if you need connectivity support, right there for you. And as I said, my supervisor would go through that. The parent learning menu is still available. It was open to parents during welcome week, but it's still available and accessible and encouraged for families to look at those beautiful learning modules on health and safety, social emotional learning. You have the family resources, and you also, I think I'm missing one, the health and safety, social emotional. I'm missing one of those, technology support and family resources. My supervisor is going to go over the learning continuity plan, which is in lieu of the LCAP. And then we wanted to make sure we have a connection with families doing this online learning. And the district has developed a student and family outreach tier intervention, which Mrs. Laskowski will speak more to. So as Valentina said, the census is approaching the deadline. It's September the 30th. We still have not met our mark. We have hard to reach populations, hard to count. It's still a lot of misconceptions. So we're just getting people to spread the word until just every person count. It's more money for the schools. And so we actually partner up with the Fern Street Circus. I don't know if you know who they are, but we're collaborating with them. And so we're doing the final push. So they will be at these sites for the next 2 weeks. And we'll also have someone from the census. We'll have a couple of people there, bilingual, to support families on the spot with completing the census. So we've posted that on our Facebook page. We're getting it out through communications. The principals of these schools will also get it out to you as well. And then you can just tell the families to go to 2020census.gov. They can click on the language of their preference. They can complete it there, or they can call and they can speak with someone in their particular language as well. So thank you, and that's it.
Thank you so much, Pam. I really appreciate it. And I had not gone into the events section on the website. It's really beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Each of the months and the different events that are being held, that's really nice. Very eye-catching. I hope a lot of people use it. So next on our agenda, Blanca, I'm sorry to have you keep going back and forth. I think you may need, can you take back the screen sharing?
Pam, are you canceling the screen share? There we go.
There we go. Yay.
Debbie?
Yes.
If I could just interrupt, I'm going to put it in the chat one more time. I've got a better link. We worked on improving our webpage, and we're working through some of those improvements. So the link that I put in the chat will actually get you to the DAC docs that we're using tonight.
Thanks. Perfect.
And I'm not sure how to get to that second poll. It's programmed, but I can't reach it. So thank you to everyone who's putting your names in there. If you could also, in the chat, if you could also indicate whether you approve the minutes or not at one point in the meeting. This is all recorded, and I'll be able to dig through it and look. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I know if I don't do it now, then I will forget it. So, all right. So next is the Uniform Complaint Procedure, and we have Lynn with us again this year to go over it, and I will let you take it away, Lynn, and you'll share your screen, I'm guessing, too. Or
I'm not quite sure. Mary or Blanca, do we want to?
Hey, yeah, so I have you as a co-host if you'd like to do that. Otherwise, I can pull up the document you shared with me, whichever you're more comfortable with.
Well, I've never shared, so maybe I can learn something here. Do I just go to the share screen?
Yeah, if it's on your screen already, it'll show whatever on your screen.
Okay, it's not. All your lovely faces are. Let me hit escape here. Exit full screen. Okay, I have it on the screen. Is it showing?
Okay, there's a bottom, right in the bottom center of your screen, you should see a little button that says share screen. Mine's green. I'm thinking you click on that.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, and then you'll choose, you might have choices.
Oh, there we go. Oh, look at that. Thank you for teaching me. I've never had to do this before. So can you see it?
Yeah.
Yes, awesome. I love that you just learned that. That's so cool.
I love that I learned it too. Okay, so We're all trying to take risks. Hi, my name is Lynn Ryan. I am the I'm the Title IX and Uniform Complaint Compliance Officer for the district. One of the annual requirements is distribution of the uniform complaint procedures. And I believe that the uniform complaint procedure notification is going to be posted with the minutes. Is that correct, Mary, Blanca? Yes, okay, she's nodding yes. She's muted. So basically, I'm just gonna give you an overview of what uniform complaint procedures are. Uniform complaint procedures are, they're a state procedure required by the state. It sets forth a uniform system for filing, investigating, and resolving specific types of complaints, and I'll talk about what types of complaints those are in a little bit. The policies for the Uniform Complaint Procedure are 1312.3. They're available online. They're also available on my department website. If you go into departments from the main page and go to Uniform Complaints, all of the information, including forms to file the complaints, are available on that site, as well as these administrative procedures and board policies. So a complaint can be filed with a written statement, and the complaints that are acceptable under the Uniform Complaint Procedure involve, you see there, discrimination, harassment, intimidation, or bullying, but it has to be based on a protected category or group. Oh, I'm sorry. Sure. So complaints can be filed in writing regarding discrimination, harassment, intimidation, or bullying based on a protected category. They can also be filed for violations of law in certain educational programs. And I'll go over what, I'll show you where those are. I'm not going to read them to you, but there's a big long list. And we can also file uniform complaints for Williams Act complaints, which have to do with instructional materials, emergency facilities issues, and or teacher misassignments. So I'm not going to read all the protected categories for you, but the first group that I just talked about, discrimination, harassment, intimidation, or bullying based on a protected group, those types of complaints, we have a response time of 60 calendar days, and you can file a complaint for any of these listed protected categories and note the last one in the bulleted list on the basis of a person's association with that group or with a person in that group. The other, one of the other areas in which you can file a uniform complaint is for the educational programs and services that are listed here. Some of the common ones, oh, and this one has also got a 60 calendar day timeline for a written response from the district. Some of the more common types of complaints would be, for example, pupil fee complaints. Those are filed under this procedure. We also have SSC complaints, posting of minutes, several school safety plans. Those are the more common types of complaints, but any of the categories that are listed on this slideshow, they are also, or any of the programs, excuse me, they are also listed on the form and in the procedure. And if anybody has any questions, of course, they're welcome to reach out to me and I can answer any questions regarding these categories. The other type of complaint, the things that are not included in the uniform complaint procedure would be classroom assignments, Common Core, grading, personnel hiring, curriculum, student discipline, things that do not fall under those three main categories that I outlined earlier. In those instances, for any of the things that are outside of the uniform complaint compliance filing, you can go ahead and contact the Quality Assurance Office. They also have a website, and I put their phone number up here for your reference. And the other type of a uniform complaint is the Williams Act complaint. We have a 45 calendar day timeline for resolution and response for these types of complaints. And these types of complaints are for the three things that I've listed here: insufficiency of instructional materials, emergency or urgent facilities, like, you know, safety concerns, and also teacher vacancy or misassignment. Those things are like credentialing would fall under that third category. So Williams complaints are typically resolved at the site level, and the site principal works with me on the response to the complainant. These types of complaints can also be filed anonymously. The complainant can also decide not to have a written response, but in the Williams complaints, I work with the site principals to make sure that the response gets out within those 45 days, that the issue gets resolved and the response gets, if it is a valid complaint, the response gets out within 45 days. So in order to file a complaint, the complainant needs to provide the fact-based allegations and they need to cooperate in the investigation and provide evidence or information so that it can be investigated. And the district's obligation would be to conduct a fair and impartial investigation and allow
for presentation of evidence on both sides, and then provide a written response within the required timeline, depending on which type of complaint is filed. And then with the response comes the information about the right to appeal, and all appeals would go to the California Department of Education. So if a complainant disagrees with a decision that the district has made, they can appeal that decision to the California Department of Education, because this is a state process. And of course, any information needed or questions, feel free to give me a call or shoot me an email. And I'm usually able to respond within 24 hours. Do we have any questions currently here on the uniform complaint procedure?
The one question I've seen a couple times is, will this be added to the website, the presentation? And it will be.
Yes, and again, there is a website that is on the main page. If you go to departments and scroll down to U for uniform complaints, all of this information that I've presented is, the links are there for all of the forms and the procedures. I will double check and see if I have this slideshow, I believe, was up there. I'm gonna have to check to see if I put the updated one on, but I will make sure I do that soon.
Thank you. Oh, there is one question. It says, who can file a complaint, parents and teachers?
Yes, this is a process that is for students. So parents can file on behalf of their student. Teachers can file on behalf of a student as well. Sometimes I do get complaints for employee-to-employee discrimination or harassment, that type of thing. That employee-to-employee doesn't really fall under this procedure, but when I do receive those, I'm required to forward them to the Department of Fair Housing and Employment, DFEH, Department of Fair Employment and Housing. Never get it right. But yes, this is parents, teachers, anyone can file on behalf of a group or a student. If they have, you know, the right to get information on that student, then we are able to answer for that particular student.
Great. And Mary did put on the chat the link so that you can go directly to the uniform complaints page.
Great.
So thank you very much, Mary, for doing that.
Any other questions? Now, how do I get out of the screen sharing? Do you kick me out?
Hold on. Or can students file on behalf of other students?
They can file on behalf of other students, but it's very limited as to what information I would be able to release based on FERPA. So typically, well, that's a good question. I really wouldn't be able to release any information to the student. I would probably be able to work through something with the parent for that student. So I'm going to say I don't really know the answer. I've never had it happen, but I wouldn't be able to release any information about that student to another student. So I'm going to say no. And if I find out differently, I will let you guys know.
And Chris, from Hawthorne Elementary, if I would say that if you have something that's more specific, he could contact you, Lynn, to discuss a more specific
Absolutely.
Case.
My email, if you want to email me and provide me with a cell phone number, I'm happy to give you a call.
Great. Oh, and Mary just posted it too. She is lightning fast. Okay. All right. So if you need to stop sharing and.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I do it?
I don't think so. You turned the lights off.
What happened? What happened? Oh my gosh.
I wonder if I can do a remote.
What do I do?
Mary, I don't stop participant down. Sharing. Let me try that.
There you go.
Thank you.
That was super cute.
That was new.
Oh, there we go.
All right. Thank you, Blanca. Okay, so the next is the learning continuity plan that we have heard much about already. From the previous presentation, and we're gonna let Teresa take the wheel with this one.
Woohoo, my turn to share screen.
Your turn to share screen.
Okay, I just wanted to first of all thank everybody for being here, and especially our families. We know it's been a very long day, and for you to be here dedicated to learning more about our plans for our community and the work that we do to serve your children, I'm very grateful. And then a quick shout out to Pam and Lynn. Thank you so much for both of you presenting and sharing as well. So this presentation was shared with our Board of Education on September 8th. It is also available for you to view on the district webpage. So I wanted to say that this, the full entirety, I did a little bit of an abridged version for tonight. And so, as was mentioned by Pam earlier, the Learning Continuity Plan, which we're referring to as the LCP, will be submitted this year in lieu of our Local Control and Accountability Plan, which was our LCAP. So we are currently seeking feedback for this learning continuity, and the full name is actually the same acronym, so that's why we're calling it LCP, because the full name is Learning Continuity and Attendance Plan. We don't want to get the two confused. So this we'll be referring to is the LCP. And so today we're providing you with information on the first draft, knowing that it will be going back before the board on September 22nd. And so Mary will be putting links to the draft, the actual draft, in English and Spanish. And then I will show you the next slide, and I'll actually put it in present mode. And just so you know and you're aware that the website, the San Diego Unified website, is accessible. There's a survey. I will be taking notes tonight to submit, but there is a survey. There's also email feedback that you can send at lacp@sandy.net, lcap@sandy.net, and there also is a phone number for you to use to give additional feedback if you'd like. So we have multiple ways of giving feedback on our LCP plan. And so I'm going to quickly click on this slide, because this slide indicates the multiple ways in which we engage stakeholders to begin to develop this plan. So initially, you can see starting in March at the beginning of school closures, the district team, the leadership team, did some planning about what is this going to look like. Now, remember, at this moment, we weren't sure that we were going to be looking down the same pathway 6 months down the road. I think honestly, all of us thought we would be back to work and back to normal in 3 weeks. And lo and behold, our whole world has changed since that onset in March. So the district team got together. We pulled together focus groups. The focus groups were teachers, administrators, district leadership, as well as some parents involved. And that focus group helped led to a think tank. And many of you may have participated in the think tanks, and that happened through April through August. And then as we started thinking about the health and safety, a lot of concerns came up from our think tank groups about health and safety. Our district leadership team met with doctors, epidemiologists, and health experts to receive consultation about the reopening, and that happened July 29th. We've had cluster input, met with our labor groups, and of course, board workshops. We've had surveys go out, and then we are doing these kinds of rollouts to inform our families about not only the engagement process that is ongoing, but the feedback that we are gleaning and shaping this work as we go. So there was a lot of hands that went into what we have here tonight for your presentation. Some of the key elements that we felt were essential. Now remember that creating this LCP, the Learning Continuity Plan, we have a little bit of historical knowledge from March until August 31st when we started school. We understood the gaps, we understood where things were a little wonky, didn't work, and so we're able to bridge some of that work. And these elements came forth, this idea of connection and belonging, that students and families need to feel connected. Before we got on this call, there was a comment made by Susie about missing each other, and this is the way that we are connecting. So how do we motivate our students and our families to connect through this remote learning and via Zoom? So we thank you for doing that. And we think of the social emotional learning that goes along with this for our students, for them not only to feel connected, but to have ways in which we are learning how to be safe, feel well, and be able to function when there seems to be a lot going on in our households and in our world around us. We know that there's not only the pandemic, but there's also a lot of social unrest and racial confrontation going on. And that weighs on many of us. It's heavy. And we see it in the news, and we're bombarded with these concepts and historical inequities that we're trying to overcome. There's also culturally responsiveness in our curriculum and instruction, the idea of engagement and collaboration, meaningful assessment and feedback, standards-based grading, supports for students with disabilities. We are working through those, supporting English learners with designated and integrated ELD, having restorative communities, and of course, parents as partners. All these elements are essential as we move forward throughout our school year. I wanted to highlight an amazing event. The beginning of our week, August 31st through September 4th, we had professional development for all of our educators. That's our classroom teachers from TK through 12, our school psychologists, speech and language, our special ed teachers, counselors. We all had a week long of PD to prepare us for this online learning. And so you can see some of the highlights and some of the different trainings that we had. And these are headers. There were multiple, there were over 800 different types of trainings for our educators to choose from. But you can see the consistency in this idea of teaching and learning interactions, quality teaching practices, quality learning interactions and quality teaching practices, the idea of equipping all of our educators with technology strategies, and it started from the beginning to a more sophisticated, the idea of equipping our teachers to service our students who are most vulnerable, English learners, as well as our students with disabilities, and teaching into social emotional learning and restorative justice practices. And as you can see, we are working towards being a culturally responsive district and thinking about what are those sustaining practices and how are we blending that work together for during like ethnic studies. So as you know, one of the major shifts we had for the fall and online learning, and you notice we're not calling it distance learning, we're calling it online learning. And that subtle shift is precisely for the idea of how are we connecting with our families and our students, and how are we making these meetings, these class sessions more engaging and more personable so that we can continue to connect with our students. It is in a different way because it's not the same face-to-face, and I know we all miss hugs and we all miss high fives that we could give our kids. So this is the way in which we're doing it, with 5 days of virtual instruction. And each teacher will be teaching at least, and this is the expectation, 365 minutes of synchronous and asynchronous instruction happens within each school day. And within that time, there are opportunities for small group instruction and instruction for small group instruction and office hours where you can meet with the teacher and the student can meet together to discuss concerns or celebrations. Hopefully there's some celebrations too. And then when we transition to on-site learning, it will be through a tiered approach to resume that on-site learning, beginning with elementary, and it will be an appointment-based learning first. Secondary, we're gonna hold off to see what was the successes in the elementary environment, and how might we build and support so that we can have a solid plan moving forward. I'm gonna take a sip. We wanted to also highlight that since March, mid-March till August 31st, we have served over 4 million meals at our 26 grab-and-go pickup sites. We have expanded from the 26 to 82 locations. And as Pam said, the locations can be, they are on our website. So if you were curious about that, and then we're expanding from 86 to 122, which is 36 more schools in the community eligibility provision. And then there is a clear process for this meal distribution during on-site learning. So there will still be mindful activity about the health and safety and the way in which meal distribution will happen. So all of the health and safety guidelines will be followed, hand washing, PPE, and of course, using good hygiene habits as well as disinfecting and cleaning. Social emotional well-being is a top priority. As I stated earlier, there are many things going on in our world that we're all dealing with. And so first of all, we're going through the classroom experience because we know that the classroom teacher has that closest connection to the student, as do you. And so we're using that as a mechanism. We will be administering a universal screener to our students in the fall and again in the spring. This will give us information that we might be able to act on or get a pulse, get a sense of where students are and what follow-up might need to happen, see if there's patterns and trends. We will be teaching explicit social emotional instruction during the school day. We are working to embed social emotional and wellness moments throughout the day. In fact, many of our professional learning within the district, we advocate for that. So there will be moments of standing up or breathing, movement, just to break it up and to remember at times to look away from your screen to give your eyes a break as well. And then there will be ongoing professional development for our educators around these foundations as well as restorative practices. Within the school community, this is where we involve our counseling team as well as intervention groups that may need to happen or integrated services for our students. So our counselors and other health professionals will assess students and be able to provide those supports. When we move out the furthest away from the classroom, that's where you see connections to our community partners and wellness resources. And this is where it's available for staff, students, and families. We've been working with Pure Edge, which is an amazing partner who provide wellness opportunities, things you can do at home, things we've brought into our parent meetings, as well as our partners our teaching union has VIBA, resources, and they help. They are available to do online training as well. So we have multiple partners that we work with. Kaiser Permanente is one, and so we're very grateful to have the additional support and resources that surround us and our students. Regarding connectivity and ensuring that our students can be connected and can access their Zoom, their studies, and interact with each other, because there's shared documents and there's different ways they connect through technology. There's platforms, and then there's also other web-based supports such as Flipgrid and ideas like Seesaw, where kids can interact with one another and collaborate on, even if they're doing a Google Doc, they can do a shared Google Doc. So you can see that over 75,000 devices have been distributed, and that their inventory to have every student to have a device. So we will be a one-on-one district. And the amount of internet connectivity offered to almost 2,000 families. So these are hotspots and other resources to keep our families connected. Daily attendance happens. Our students are considered present if they participate in online activities and are completing assignments each day. We know there's a variety of expectations for families, and we also know there needs to be some flexibility for working families and families with multiple children or multi-generational family members living in under one household. At times we know it can be up to 7 people trying to be online at the same time. So we're building in some flexibilities, and knowing that teachers may adjust that attendance retroactively within 5 days if there was a recorded absence. So if your child missed a day of Zoom, however, they participated in the asynchronous learning and were able to submit their work completed, the teacher could go back and count that as in attendance. And students will not be marked tardy during online learning. As I said, our first and foremost priority is to ensure that our students are connected and they are motivated to be in class. I urge all of our families to continue to support us by having their children log in and participate however they can. It really is important for that social aspect. And so you can see that if a child has been absent or we haven't seen a child, the first tier is a classroom teacher support, and the classroom teacher would make a phone call, reach out to the family and try to connect. Then if that doesn't work, the site will maintain that support and maybe have other means of connecting with the family and maybe even trying a home visit. We have a third layer where the district team, all of our resources are being pulled together to assist our schools with phone calls, going through some of the other members of the family that may know something about their child. So we keep digging a little deeper. And the final tier would be a district level wellness check to ensure that our families' needs are being met. And if there's anything they need, that we can figure out what that is in order to support them and their child connecting with school. So addressing learning loss has been something that many of our family members are concerned about. And so I just wanted to highlight a couple things here that you can see at the bottom, that our ideal is that we're doing acceleration versus remediation. Remediation is a point in time where a teacher makes a decision for the whole class and kind of goes back and teaches. Say, if I'm a fifth grade teacher, I would go back and start teaching fourth grade standards. That may not be necessary for every student. So it's important to use diagnostics, formative diagnostics, so you know where the student is, their strengths, and then you can build on how am I designing my lessons to accommodate their needs. That's where that small group instruction comes in, because you can do targeted intervention or support with that student, as well as meeting their needs and making sure they're making those gains and accelerating to where they need to be. Again, we have conferring with students to ensure that they're on track and know their goals and making progress, that just-in-time strategies, how the teachers are engineering their lessons to ensure that they are targeting the needs of the students, additional small group instruction above and beyond, so that would be more like a tier two, and then specific targeted intervention if needed. Just a couple highlights. The way in which we're planning to support our English learners is through the designated English language development. We call it designated ELD, and also integrated English language development. And that happens throughout the day in every content area to support our learners, not just in English class, but in math class, in PE, however they need it. And again, that targeted targeted group support to build language is key. I'll quickly just say central office support will be to provide job-embedded professional development and professional development for all educators, just as we did within the first 5 days of school. You can see supports for students with disabilities. We will be serving our students across the continuum of placements, and that IEP services will be online through video conferencing, and that we will ensure that students have access to assistive technology. And again, you can see professional development for our system is vital in order to support teachers in the teaching of their students. And across, you'll see the common thread that the support is also to provide office hours for our leaders as well as our teachers. And this is for students who are in foster youth, low income, experiencing homelessness, again, doing a needs assessment, monitoring that child closely, and supporting them to feel like they belong and that they're not different and that we are all part of a school community. So that idea of connecting with our students and providing the services they need, ensuring they know where to get the services and supporting that way. And again, you can see the professional development, it's nuanced there, it's a little bit different here where you might do a trauma-informed care and resilience education, but there's that common factor of professional development. And for students who are underperforming, you will see that targeted work with our counselors to develop goals that are academic and maybe behavioral, social, emotional, towards college and career readiness, thinking about what are the other supports we can put in place. If there's an action-based project, we can get them involved with. And again, you can see professional development for our educators to help them know how we can proceed. So it's really a beautiful way in which we can do this. So as we move towards the on-site learning, which will be appointment-based, as I said, we are starting with elementary first, TK5 students, and these students would be narrowed down to students who are most vulnerable, and we would have record of that on their report card. So we're looking at English language arts or mathematics. We would look at these students who may have an IEP and who are not meeting their IEP goals or have intense support needs. So these students would be recommended for possibly the initial assessment. Oh, you can hear my dryer. A required triennial or other required standardized assessments. When we move on to on-site learning, you can see the supports and the expectations, providing PPE, desk shields, daily disinfectant procedures, ventilation, ensuring that the right filter is in the classroom for air quality, being very limited in who is able to access campus. There will be daily screenings. Adhering to physical distancing, the clear hygiene practices, safe transportation, the safe meal distributions, and continued collaboration
with our county and other public health agencies. So this is where I've created space for us to, for you. I know I've given you a lot of information, and I'm going to stop sharing screen because I know I dumped a lot of information on there. If you've looked at the LCP and you clicked on that link, there's a lot of information there. So I tried to give you the highlights and summary of what that plan is, and I would be open to try and take notes. Pam, I'm not sure if you're able to take notes right on that doc on slide 19 for me as I try to field the questions. And Pam, you can always help me field the questions because you know things I don't know.
So it looks like we have three questions. Our first one is from Delphina, and she wants to know, is there a consequence if a student doesn't turn on their camera during online learning? And then kind of a follow-up, if they don't turn it on time when the class is supposed to start, is there a consequence? So that's kind of two questions.
Yeah, so we know that there are preferences with our families. And I think that if there is a conversation with, first of all, the classroom teacher to know if there's a sensitivity, if there's a particular discomfort that the family has, we always say, first and foremost, talk to the classroom teacher. As far as consequences for being late, there shouldn't be, because if your child checks in, and we're trying to be mindful of our families and knowing there's circumstances when you're at home that you can't control all the time, just to be mindful that if that seems to be a problem, if there were a consequence, that again, I would talk to the classroom teacher or the principal about your particular needs. Because I'll say at some point, I hope the child would feel comfortable seeing their classmates, because there is something about seeing one another smile that does make you feel connected. But again, I want to honor where our families are, and that would be a conversation I would definitely have with the classroom teacher. So they would know that I'm logging in and my child is either uncomfortable or whatever it is, that we can accommodate that need.
Okay, and Boutel asked, have we made a decision regarding assessments yet?
In what regard, a decision about assessments?
In regard to, like, special ed assessments for students potentially needing an IEP at this stage of the game?
Yes, so we do have some online assessments. So that's where I was thinking, because with initial LPAC, we're starting those assessments. Teachers will conduct formative assessments. So there are assessments that will happen, and it will happen remotely at this time. When we move into phase one, as I was sharing, that appointment-based learning, some IEPs will happen at that time through that appointment-based learning. So thank you for that question.
Nayla would like to know, is there anything for GATE designated students?
I don't understand, is there anything, because if the child is in a GATE program, whether that be in a GATE cluster or a seminar program, their teacher would be accommodating their needs through the program that they're involved with. And maybe I'm missing the point.
Nayla, do you want to come off of mute and maybe clarify that, or was that sufficient for you?
This is Marissa. Nayla, I'm using her computer. But basically, I'm going to be attending the GATE-DAC meeting on Monday coming up, but I was just up until today, I had seen there was no GATE website on the sandy.net. It was oops, can't be found, there's no page existing. And so I checked right now, and there is a page that's interesting. I will be adjusting things with the gate, you know, at that meeting. But I was just...
It's breaking up.
Since there were several different categories, you know, underperforming, et cetera, I was just wondering if there was a category for students that were, you know.
It doesn't sound like it's separated out, if that's what you're asking. I believe that's how Teresa answered it. So their GATE instruction would be incorporated into their regular day. And Teresa, please, you know.
That's usually how we do the support. So the students would be enrolled and their teacher would provide that additional support within their cluster, as I said, or if it is a full class, then they would design the instruction to meet the needs of the students. Thank you for
so
that.
Much.
Yes. Uh-huh.
The next question is from Gina Varner. She wants to know if we're able to see, are we able to see the progress that's been made towards preparation for on-site learning? I'm guessing at each particular school, the preparation that's been made to ensure health and safety is what I'm taking for that. But if Gina wants to come off of mute.
I'm going to say, just to clarify, so as I showed on the screen, I'm going to go back to this slide 18 that I was on. We want to have a consistency in the way in which we are welcoming our students back and ensuring their safety. So we will be ensuring that this is the type of equipment, the protocols that will be put in place to ensure the health and safety of our students and our educators. So you can see the long list of what we're expecting to do when we're having more than one person on site. So right now, I'm not sure if our families are aware, but some of our teachers are teaching from their classroom. And the rule of thumb is there is only one person in the room, because we can ensure that that person is healthy and there's no common places, no one's making copies at the copy machine. You go to your room and you stay at your room. And that has worked out well. So there are some clear guidelines about being on site. So when we begin to resume and move to that appointment-based learning, there will be those protocols put in place. And as we get closer to that moment, that I'm sure will be revealed as we move closer to that moment. There's many things still in the planning phase for that. As you know, the county just changed the way in which they're, I guess, monitoring us, and now we're on a color system, and we know that that could shift. So we're being very mindful. And again, we're not health experts, we're educators, so we work with our partners to guarantee that when we move, it is in alignment with their guidance. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. Okay, Chris H. from Hawthorne wants to know if outdoor class work or class time is also being considered once school is back on site again.
Again, I think that is so dependent on the school site, their surroundings. Remember that when we move to on-site learning, we are doing it in a phased approach. So when we get our go-ahead, when we're moving towards that on-site learning, we're not opening the doors and welcoming everybody at once. It's going to be a very, I guess if we compared it to the tortoise and the hare, it's going to be a very measured way in which we do this. And I know that sometimes it's difficult because we want things to normalize right away, but we have to be so mindful of the situation keeps changing. And so we might even start a phase one, and we don't know at this point if that second wave is going to come, and then we might have to regroup and go back. So we're being very flexible. So I know that doesn't sound like the best answer right now, but we can't draw a line in the sand yet to say any for sures.
Okay, next up, next question is from Emily Diaz. What does it mean by appointment? For example, like 40 minutes on Tuesday, or is this daily on-site access to curriculum?
Right, so the appointment base is precisely that. I don't have a time frame for you right now. We are still working on this plan to ensure that we are precise. Because the one thing we want to ensure that when we move to this, that whatever that recommendation is, and it could be customized, so it's very difficult to say, there isn't a time frame yet that I can say. I can't even really answer that yet. So I'm going to say, I'm going to hold and myself and put a pause because we are in the developments of that, and I don't have any hard information to share with you right now. Okay. So thank you for that question, Emily. That's a beautiful question. And I'm sure Pam has written that down. And if Mary's the host, I really would love the chat so I can have these questions to bring back too. Thank you.
Can I just follow up real fast?
Please.
So what I mean by, I wasn't asking of the time frame of when, but more that, for example, if a student has SAI for 1 hour three times a week, is that what their appointment will be for, or will they be there all day, in class, so to speak, with a 1 hour SAI?
As I said, I don't know. I can't answer that question right now. I don't have enough information about that. But thank you. I do appreciate it.
And the answers to those questions, once they become available, will be posted too. We have the questions. We can do that, Mary? Perfect. That's great. All right. Our next question is from Aaron. And Aaron's question is based on appointment-based learning needs. How will this be handled when the school site is far from the home and students are usually bused?
I'm sure there will be a plan, a transportation plan for you and that student, for you and your child, I should say. So more to come on that. I'm sure that it would be arranged for the student to have transportation if they normally do have transportation.
Okay. And Crystal would like to know, do we provide feedback via chat or verbally? And there's another way to provide feedback as well. Isn't there a website to be able to go on and do that?
Yes, so.
And we'll put that up there in the chat, the website that you can go to if you're interested that way. Verbally, for sure, that's what we're here for. And it could also be put in the chat as well or emailed to Teresa or Pam. Or
well, we actually do have a link that I'm sure Mary will put in. As you recall, there's the LCAP. Let me pull this up real quick.
Yeah.
There is the LCAP@sandy.net. There is a cell phone number and there is a Survey Monkey. Let me see if I can pull that up and I'll put that in the chat.
Perfect. So much like we do when we have a presentation at our other meetings and we are able to go into a website to provide feedback that way, another way to provide feedback on the LCP.
And the questions that they're sharing are a form of feedback as well. So I want to thank our families for this because this is feedback.
We have one more. There's one more question. Nope, there's two more questions, I think. So from Chris, the question is, how are we identifying kids who are being underserved? GATE kids are among the groups that fall into this category, especially they're twice identified.
So when we mean underserved students, those are students, and yes, sometimes GATE students may fall into that as well, but those are our students who may be missing school, that have gaps in their education. So that would be, again, based on assessment as well as the teacher knowing the student. So our teachers are our first line of defense in knowing what the student needs are, and if indeed they can help support that child, or if a team within the school team needs to wrap their arms around what that child needs. Do they need more support? Do we need to put in interventions? What type of interventions? And then what is the duration of those interventions? How are we monitoring? And how are we ensuring that the parents are knowledgeable about the not only the supports, but the vulnerability and conferring with the family, like, are you seeing this? So there should be multiple meetings so that the family is informed and so that we are all on the same page working towards the same goal. So thank you for that question, Chris.
Great. Michelle Warner would like to know, will elementary schools be administering the FAST testing?
So, you know, these assessments are very important. And so, yes, our schools may administer these assessments for our students. What that means, though, is that our families are going to have to be diligent about not helping. because we want to get the most authentic, right, response and data from your student. And so when we do these, when you're doing an assessment online, it might be important for the teacher, if they're doing it in a Zoom environment, to be able to have that camera on. So for me, that's when that camera on is super important, because I need to ensure that, one, is the child attending? If the child walks away, if it's one of the an assessment, I'll say like an LPAC, the initial LPAC, I would need to know that as an assessor. If the child is distracted or no longer involved, that might be a good time to pause the test and give that little bit of a movement break. Or if the child can no longer continue, that's when the teacher would make those decisions. So it just is, it's really tricky. It's more tricky. You need that sense of knowing your child as the assessor, what they need, and how do you accommodate that need? Because sometimes tests can be frustrating for students, especially if they're having difficulty. And we don't want our kids to start feeling overwhelmed by assessments either. So it's that delicate balance. So I appreciate the question.
Valentina would like to know how new students' language development is being assessed.
They will be using the initial LPAC. We are currently training our educators and any VTs who will be supporting school sites. So there's Moodle training that is online, and all of the training for the assessors are online, and the training for the students will be online as well. Thank you, Valentina.
Ramani would like to know, will the district consider allowing TK and K to start sooner?
Does she mean start on site sooner? And if that is the question, remember we're going through the appointment based first. And so that could be that next phase, but I don't know yet what that plan is. So I can't give a great answer for that. So I'm sorry.
Okay. I don't know Ramani, if you want to unmute, is that sooner in the day? Is it sooner in on site? What does sooner mean? I don't know. Maybe they don't have
sooner on site.
Yeah. Sooner on site. Okay. So you just answered that one. I just wanted to confirm that that's what the question was. Okay, Crystal.
I was just going to say for Crystal, she says the survey does not include any questions about parent engagement, which one of which is one of my feedback areas. Crystal, you're welcome to put that in. There is a portion of engagement in the LCP. I would need to pull that up to look at it, but it does talk about the stakeholder engagement, which will be ongoing. So please put that in the feedback.
Crystal also wanted to know if feedback is sent via email, will it be recorded in the DAC minutes or as comments?
I don't know if there's a mechanism to do that.
Generally, our comments section or feedback is very, very much in summary. We will post the audio. So I guess we can talk through the details of how we would capture any written feedback.
Well, maybe Mary, if they submitted the LCAP email, then we wouldn't have a record of it. Yeah. No, but we wouldn't have a record of it.
Yeah.
From what I understand, I just have, if you would like to have your comments and feedback recorded under the DAC feedback, you need to specify that in your email. And the email is read and is gone through. So if you specify in your email that you are a DAC representative and you are contributing feedback based on this evening, then it will be included, and we can make sure that it gets included.
And Crystal said she's also happy to share her feedback verbally this evening, if that's helpful. And just to confirm, do we have a quorum?
You know, that's a difficult thing to answer. Our top number was 58. We have 54 now, but we have to go through the records and determine whether they're actual DAC members or not. So quorum isn't easily identified during the meetings now.
Okay. So Crystal, if you'd like to share, please feel free to do that.
Sure, thank you. I'll be quick. My name's Crystal Troll. I'm DAC from Marston Middle School and Holmes Elementary. Thank you, Teresa, for this presentation. I appreciate all your work and it was very helpful. I did read through the entire LCP. I made lots of notes for feedback, but tonight I just want to focus my public comments on stakeholder engagement. First, there was a lot of information about what happened over the summer, but I would like to see more detailed plan for the 2021 school year included in the LCP that incorporates continued parent engagement focused specifically on online learning. I think that this continual feedback will really, from parents specifically, will really help us in, to know what's working, what's not, what are some best practices that are happening throughout the district to inform changes and improvements to the online learning model. Secondly, the timing for our SSC to review this LCP is very limited, given that the board meeting is September 22nd, and school just started a few weeks ago. We don't even have an SSC meeting scheduled between now and the 22nd. I know that timing has come up before in these DAC meetings, so we need adequate time to provide meaningful feedback. And finally, the LCP survey, as I mentioned, doesn't include any questions about actions or strategies for continued parent engagement as it does in the other sections that are included in the LCP. So I would ask that a question be added to the survey for that. I'll also submit these in writing to email, but I just wanted to be sure that they were out there.
Thank you so much, Crystal. Notes taken, appreciated the feedback, and thank you for taking the time to read through the LCP.
Truly appreciate it.
It was actually really, really interesting. I learned a lot, so it was good.
Thank you.
Okay, I think that is the last of the questions. Thank you so much, Teresa. I know this was a lot of work to put together, and it's great presentation. Really, really enjoyed it. I learned a lot too.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate you all. Thank you.
Okay, so is it last on our list? Where's our agenda?
That's it, Debbie.
That's it?
That's it.
Get out of town. I just started to have fun.
We can stay.
No, I was just kidding, Mary. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are adjourned at 8:05 p.m. on my computer clock. Thank you so much for your continued participation, and we will see you in several weeks, another month. Bye, guys.